Tell us about Carmen.
Well, I mean, Carmen is, I mean, it's a classic, yeah. Obviously, and it's a, I think it's one of everyone's favorite operas. I think a lot of that is the score itself. I think the score has somehow become a part of the soundtrack of all of our lives somehow. Right. I'm not exactly sure why it is. It is a brilliant score, but it absolutely is. It is a part of everyone's knowledge somehow. So I think it's also an approachable story. It's an easy story.
Basically a love story, a tumultuous, yeah.
Tumultuous
love story. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it certainly is.
And themes that are relatable, you know, in the time period in which it's set to now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes,
it's a story
sure.
that it's a story yeah. that really mm-hmm. translates over time. Do you feel that
yes,
way too, Rob?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. I think that Don José is in a very interesting predicament.
Mm-hmm.
He's fighting what he's grown up feeling is the right match for him, mm-hmm. and what his heart and his soul are telling him is the right match. So it's quite a battle for him to make that decision. Carmen's battle is, you know, freedom or commitment.
Right.
That's certainly something I'm sure we all understand, though.
Do you think, too, I mean, of course, like I said, it's a love story, and maybe good versus evil or the good side versus mm-hmm. the dark side, it could really translate into any theme today in our world yes. that we're living in today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's two love triangles, which I think is quite interesting. You've got Don José with Micaela and Carmen, and then you've got Carmen with Don José and Escamillo.
Yeah.
So really interesting choices that these characters have to make and get to make. You know?
What is it about this musical and this story that hits anybody, you know, a younger generation all the way up to, you know, our age mm. and our parents and grandparents? What is it about theme?
I think the basic idea of choices. We have to make choices in our lives that have monumental consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And not every choice is monumental, but there are many along the way, so you need to think carefully sometimes and really examine. Don't always let your heart completely rule. Engage the head a little bit too, maybe there's a balance between the two that maybe that's part of the lesson. You know, we've set the piece in 1937 during the Spanish Civil War,
mm-hmm.
because when I was first approached to do Carmen, I was so fascinated by the bullfighting idea in it, and how does that. Why is that there? How does that work?
Right.
And the bull that's the most vivid in my mind is the bull in Picasso's Guernica.
Okay, yeah.
And so I looked at that painting, and you see in the upper left-hand corner there is a dead body in the arms of someone, man, woman, wailing in agony and grief, and standing over top of it is this bull.
Right.
And it just felt like that is the story. That is the final image of Carmen. She's dead in Don José's arm. He's in total agony and grief that he's ended her life. And Escamillo is there from his victory, standing over the proceedings. So it's a very vivid image. And also just moving it up in time and giving, you know, making the... in Act Three, when they go to the mountains to make everyone revolutionaries rather than smugglers,
mm-hmm.
and it just gave it a cause. It felt like, and Carmen seems like the kind of person who believes in a cause.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And I think that's interesting and powerful. And
yeah, having seen a bullfight in
yes.
Madrid, the bull rarely wins.
That's
so it's almost
true.
Something remarkable
yes.
happening here,
yeah.
larger than life, like the painting.
Yeah, well, it is larger than life. And Carmen is the bull
yeah.
in this. And she, you know, she believes in fate. I mean, she has the cards, and every card's a death card for her. And
right.
she believes they're doomed,
mm-hmm.
you know. So she and Don José are moths going to the flame, you know.
Yeah, you directed Carousel here, which I saw
yeah.
and was spectacular. It was
thank
wonderful.
You
had wonderful actors and performers,
yeah.
but you're
yeah.
very much too about the scenery and the setting, and really, for me anyway, mm. taking your audience and really putting us into where everybody else is. Mm. Is that what kind of a director you want to be? You are?
I do. I try to do that, and thank you for saying so. I mean, I really do. That's the goal, obviously, is not to keep people outside your production, but to bring people into it somehow. And also with Carousel as well, trying to make it make sense for today.
Right.
You know, we moved Carousel as well. We moved it up to the Depression.
Yes.
Because, you know, trying to answer the question of how can a man, you know, hit his wife and she still love him. And trying to place the entire world at a time, a desperate time.
Right.
So to try to make that horrible action that Billy does.
Yeah.
Out of fear,
mm-hmm.
and try to make it okay for Julie to still love him somehow. So somehow setting it in a world that is desperate times, somehow helped make that more palatable,
mm-hmm.
if it can be palatable, you know.
You also choreographed opening numbers for a number of Tony and Academy Award shows. Is it... Talk about being a choreographer. How do you start from ground zero with just a clean palette and say, and you're tasked with, okay, you are going to choreograph the opening number for the Academy Awards. What do you, after the point of, you know, Jubilee and, yeah, you know, yeah, Exalt, yeah, what happens next?
Well, I mean, you have to try to, you know, make it make some kind of sense.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things, to be honest, are the hardest things to choreograph because they can kind of be anything.
Right.
So you have to, like, zero in on what the message is and what you're trying to say. And for the Oscars and certainly for the Tonys, you know, those opening numbers that I've done in the past or numbers in the show, they've all been special material more or less. So it's written by, you know, clever writers too. So you work with them to help make it make sense.
Right.
Make it, give it some kind of a storyline so that you're not just randomly putting steps together.
Right.
You know.
How much work goes into that?
Lots.
Is it months?
Lots.
Okay, so
I mean, you know, when I did the Academy Awards, you know, they're usually in the end of February, and we were working on that right after Thanksgiving.
Really? So
yeah,
it takes
but I mean, like,
that
there in
amount
LA
of time.
Working on it.
Right,
like,
every day, though. This isn't
working
just,
every day.
You know, once
every,
a week.
Every day.
Help. Every day.
And also, you know, collaborating with the writers who are writing it, with our producers, you know, and I was so lucky. I had Craig Zaden and Neil Marin, these amazing producers who I'd worked with on Broadway as well, who really understand theater and how to create numbers and a build inside and all that. So great collaborators inside it. You have to work with the designers,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that what's on stage is aids your number. You have to, you know, if you have stars in your number, you know, there's a negotiation there.
Right, right.
To, you know, get them on board and,
yeah.
And then their schedules, when they can rehearse and when they can't. And,
yes.
A lot of moving parts, and of course always budget too, you know, can you afford and what can't you afford. And also because both the Tonys and the Academy Awards, no matter how much pre-work you do, you know, nothing really kicks into gear until the nominations come out, so then you have some sense of what the evening is going to be.
Right.
So there's so much fun to do. A lot of work, but so much fun and so fulfilling. I mean, the Tonys last year I did the opening number for James Corden, and
which
I'm
was
such
great.
A huge fan of his, and
yes.
getting to work with him, and then, you know, and Neil Patrick Harris,
mm-hmm.
for like 4 years that I did with him, and
he's probably a delight. He is just
a delight too. Clever too.
Yes,
both, but James is clever as well.
He is
both so clever in helping create it, and then, you know, you feed off each other that way. So that's the gift of those things, to have a host, mm-hmm. like that you can
with a little bit of creative input too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Seth MacFarlane, when he hosted the Oscars,
yes.
he's a wonderful collaborator. He's so creative, as we all
know,
and a lover of music, and so he's a great collaborator as well.
You directed the live musicals that we've seen on television, Peter Pan, and I was overjoyed with The Sound of Music. I love the fact that, though I like musicals anyway, obviously, mm-hmm. but I love the fact now that they're on TV, and for a younger generation too. You know, my 5-year-old goddaughter watches these, you know, she loves seeing the musicals on TV. Is that kind of a new challenge, a different challenge?
It was a challenge. There's no question it was a challenge. I mean, it was exciting. We were the pioneer. You know, Sound of Music was the first one. What are we actually going to do? We tried to be very clear about saying that we were going to do the musical, put the musical on television as a live television special, and not a remake of the Julie Andrews film, because they changed many things for the film from the musical.
Right.
You know, songs and orders of songs, and they cut songs, and it's all very different. And so we just wanted to be very clear that we weren't trying to remake that movie, but we were trying to put a Broadway show as a live television event.
It has to be challenging, though, too, because you, I mean, when you do a stage production, which I know is magical and a challenge within itself, but it's not, you know, if you're a minute or two off, it's okay. The audience really won't notice.
Oh, yes.
But right for TV, you're hitting the spots. I love the behind
calculated.
The scenes, too, right?
Yeah.
They're hopping in the little golf carts and going from scene to scene.
Right. That's when they did that on the back lot.
On Hairspray.
On Hairspray, yeah. No, that's very fun. You know, we were in a big sound stage in Long Island. So we had all of our sets in one, basically, giant room for Sound of Music.
But you're still moving.
We still have
changing.
The cameras move. The actors change clothes on the commercial breaks. And all of those things.
Yeah. That's amazing. You've done
We enjoyed working on Sound of Music, and I'm so glad so many people watched. And we had an incredible cast. And so, you know.
Does your family come to the productions? Will they come watch Carmen? Do they critique you as well?
They do come. They do come and watch. They're not going to be able to make it to Carmen, but they do usually come and, you know, support and cheer me on. They're great. They're great fans and not very critical, which is nice.
Okay, that is good. Right.
Yes.
Right. Leave the directing to you, to the pro.
Yeah.
Rob Ashford, congratulations on all of your success,
thank you for being here.
And my final question to
you,
everybody, see Carmen, 11 performances through March 25th. We're happy you're in Chicago. We're happy you're at the Lyric. What do you want people to take away with, to walk away when they see Carmen? Mm. What do you want them to take away?
I think that I'd love for them to understand that whether you're seeing an opera or a musical, that they're both telling a story. And if you can open your mind and engage in the story, even if it's in French and you don't speak French and you're having to read the surtitles, and even if you don't have a history of the piece, it's just like they're very similar. And that's to the people who love musicals who don't go to the opera, and the people who love the opera who don't go to musicals. I think that they're basically of the same spirit. They're telling a wonderful story through music and sometimes dance. And I think that everyone should give it a try if you're at all intimidated by the idea of going to the opera house and seeing Carmen.
Oh, this is a performance you're not going to want to miss, whether you've seen it, you know, for the first time, or you're seeing it for the first time, or maybe the fifth time.
Well, I hope so. I hope everyone enjoys it. There's some amazing singers we have, some gorgeous dancers. There's lots of dancing in the show.
Yeah.
And
and the Lyric is beautiful. I mean, you can't ask for a better stage, or better venue.
The theater, the lobby.
Isn't it stunning?
The whole place.
Yes.
It has such a warmth to it, and it's a great place to watch theater, to watch opera, to watch dance.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Best of luck and much success to you in the future as well. It's Carmen through March 25th at the Lyric Civic Opera House. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.